Lee for the official Isuzu Ute A-Leagues podcast on the scene of one of the great scenes in Australian sport in recent times. The triumph of the Mariners, and not just any triumph, Robbie Cornplate and Davey Wiener have been good enough to join me on the podcast in the aftermath of Central Coast Mariners' 6-1 demolition of Melbourne City in the grand final. Quite something, eh, Rob?
Well, it's not a result I saw coming. That's for sure. I mean, I tipped City. I thought they were the ones that probably were going to get the job done. You can create a narrative or a storyline for just about any result in football, but I'd be very, very surprised if anyone came up with 6-1 for the Mariners here tonight, though.
You know, their moniker is Believe for Ted Lasso. I just spoke to Sean Mellencamp before, and I don't think 6 was something that they even believed in. It was one of those nights. It puts blood in your veins tonight, seeing the emotion of sport, and that was a fairy tale and beyond. So much to talk about tonight, about what a brilliant performance it was to get to that fairy tale.
We're going to finish with the Central Coast Mariners' story on the whole, and this football club and what they've been able to achieve, because it needs to be summed up tonight. But let's start with the game.
And Kalolo jabs it out for Maresh. Can they find the end goal? The icing on the cake! And Central Coast Mariners become just the second team in A-League Grand Final history to hit 6 of the best.
That's what people were glued to, the 90 minutes. There was so much anticipation, of course. It was David B. Goliath. There was a Cinderella story coming into it against the Juggernaut. And a lot of people tipped, including me, with their heart. And then with their head were thinking, oh, I don't know if Central Coast can do it. But not only have they done it, I mean, they've absolutely obliterated not only a team that looked stronger than them on paper, but a football club. And the way in which they did it, the energy inside this ground once it hit 3-1.
It's Jason Cummings! It's 3-1 Central Coast!
They were powerless to stop it, Melbourne City. And watching those in yellow and blue behind the goals just created awesome atmosphere here in Sydney. It's a really special night, obviously not for the Melbourne City fraternity, but for everyone else who was watching on.
I mean, all the plaudits go to Central Coast. If we want to talk about the game as a whole, I think from the very start, I think Melbourne City got it wrong. I think whether that's down to Rado, I don't know the fitness of the players and how they trained and what they saw tactically, but Matthew Lecky starting in the middle of the park alongside Berisha for me was not the right decision. Berisha had a really slow start, whether that upset him, and then he got injured and came off. Richie van der Veen came on and they looked a little bit better. Andrew Naboo, he hasn't played a lot of football, let's be honest. It wasn't his greatest night. It was a very odd call. And even when it went 3-1 and 4-1, there was no reaction from City. We weren't seeing Berenguer come on. We weren't seeing tactical switches. They didn't go to a back three. I didn't see enough from Melbourne City tonight.
But also the tone. There was a moment early on when McLaren got in behind and Triantis cleaned him up.
Yep.
Strong tackle. And for that moment I went, if there's any doubt tonight, they're in for this. We look at the Mariners, and I've been lucky to have been in all their finals and watch the energy that they played with, how quickly and swiftly they get forward direct play. But their defensive shape, their solidity, I know that the goal that City scored and upset that, for the most part, the City side that has conquered so much in front of them this season struggled to find an outcome against this well-organised defence. A brilliant performance.
Just one more point. With the way that they lined up, it didn't leave a lot of options later in the game. They had all their attacking talent on the park. And then when it didn't work and they were down, it was like, well, we've already got them all out there. There's nothing else we can really do. And I think that was an issue as well.
Yeah, Naboo starting and then Van der Veen on the bench because he comes on early. But it didn't make sense when you looked at the lineup. And there are other factors as to why they lost the game. But they didn't get off to a great start, of course. The standard of football. So people will talk about the game and they'll talk about the scoreline and what a big surprise it was. But the standard of football in that first half was something special. And Melbourne City added to that as well. Tommy Glover with some big saves. Thought Jordy Boss looked really good. Matt Leckie had a very good game. Van der Ven when he came on. Boss was strong. But the likes of Joshy Nisbet in midfield. Triantis, the way in which he started. We talk about setting tones. His first 10 minutes. The way in which he was mopping everything up.
The header here where he cleaned up Tilio as well was a foul, but like you said, Dave, he's setting the tone very, very early.
He calms everyone else down around him with a couple of big moments, right?
Yep.
And just gives his whole team confidence.
Right, they've got a pass, Nuno Reis, it's Sammy Silvera! It is a glorious goal!
Sammy Silvera, that goal in the first half. Individual brilliance, but the way in which he linked everything up all game. And Jason Cummings, of course. So the Joe Marston medalist in what is his last game here in Australia, which is such a shame. And the Joe Marston medal not just for his three goals. The first goal was so important. You got to finish the pens. He's all round. Everything went through him. Everything went through Jason Cummings. And he dropped deep when he wasn't getting into the game at times to link things up. And then the energy and the way in which he moves and just gets everything going in the final third for the other quality players to feed off him. He was just magnificent.
One of those early goals. You know, this is not long ball stuff. This is not hit and hope. This is not, well, they're really direct and fast. The way Cummings came in and linked the play, this is a guy who was at the top of his game tonight. Yeah. And in a battle with his fellow Socceroos strikers and attackers, he was the cream of the crop in this game tonight.
Oh, I think Jason Cummings is almost the Central Coast Mariners story, the same story.
Yeah.
Maybe someone who's down on their luck, a team that's have no luck, they're at rock bottom, they need something different. He comes to Australia, he's been a massive personality, he's built with the team over the last couple of years. He couldn't have had a better night than he's had tonight. He goes out on the very, very top, and he goes on the next level. He's been to a World Cup. I think Jason Cummings needed the Central Coast Mariners,
yeah,
and they needed him.
Yeah, I mean, so you touched on something there, because Benny Nkololo's an incredible signing. Obviously, Marco Tullio's a fantastic signing. There are others. But when you look back, we all knew how good Jason Cummings was before he came to Australia. And it's a fair question to ask. How on earth did the Mariners get him when Sydney FC didn't, the Melbourne Victory didn't, Western Sydney didn't? Now, maybe some of those big clubs who look at things in their totality were a bit too cautious. Now, they heard some of the off-field stories about Jason Cummings, and maybe he's too much of a disruption. Is he a bit too much of a pantomime villain? Is he a bit too much of a joke, if you like? Well, he's not. He's a top-class footballer. But it takes a club like the Mariners with their culture to take a little bit of the risk, and he's paid them back in spades.
Cummings puts it in the top corner. Opposite side, same results. Hat-trick on his final game.
Well, what about the Leeds Wall Access this week, where the week of the grand final is having a golf shot out of his, you know, where?
Backside.
Absolutely outstanding. It's the characters that we need to have in this league. Yep. It's the characters Australian sport loves. Look, if it was his last game tonight, it is a loss, but he has made an almighty contribution. But can I have a contrast?
We all want to jump in. We're all ready to go.
Cummings. Joshy
Nisbet. Exactly where I was going. Because it's almost in line with that. Yeah. It's another player who other clubs maybe didn't want. Maybe Australian football didn't want at one stage. You're too short. The Mariners persist with him. There was a moment at the end of the game, all 5-for-3 of Josh Nisbet, bouncing off players twice his size, bursting through midfield and setting up the last goal. He is an ornament to the Australian game. He's a cult hero of the league, not just Central Coast. But more than that, he's a damn fine footballer. And he was so important tonight as well.
I mean, we were talking up in the stands. Is he in contention for the Socceroos? Yeah. On form, 100%. But it always comes back to that thing like, oh, is he too small to play international football? Give him a crack, absolutely.
So, as I look up to you,
am I
Robbie,
too tall?
As the former Socceroo of this panel, Graham Arnold was here tonight.
Yeah.
Who the Argentina squad gets in that next week? He said he's going to look at A-League players.
For me, it's Triantis. I think centre-back is a position that's still sort of up in the air for the Socceroos. Obviously, we've got Harry Souttar. We've got a couple of other viable options. At 20 years of age, to come out and boss a final, rumoured to be going to Sunderland as well.
Sammy Silvera.
I mean, we've got a lot of players in wide areas. They've all put their best foot forward on the biggest night of the season. I just want to say, none of these players would be able to do what they've been able to do. Jason Cummings, Nisbet, without Nick Montgomery. I mean, he's given them so much support, so much trust, and built that belief that, hey, you guys, you belong at this level. Don't worry about what anyone else says about you. I want you here. You are the star of this show, and go and do it, and look what they've done.
I mean, he's done so incredibly well, Nick Montgomery. Again, there are so many stories in this team of players who were overlooked by so many others. Nick Montgomery's been in Australia for how long?
Yeah.
He's been at the Central Coast Mariners for how long? How many other managers were given a crack before him? Not that he was necessarily pushing.
Yep.
He was happy doing what he's doing. A couple of other managers don't work out. Yeah, Monty will give you a go. Look where they are now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, Alan Stachic's probably got to have a little bit of credit.
Yeah, he's in
the
crowd tonight.
Yeah, he sort of turned the tide for him as well. And it's just a wonderful story. I mean, it's like we say, it's a fairy tale, David versus Goliath. I think, what was it, like 4 wooden spoons or 5 wooden spoons in space? Every year, everyone's tipping them to come out of the top 6. And the last 3 years, they've just been building and building.
A couple other things to speak to that culture tonight. Kyle Rowles was here in his old Central Coast kit in the stands. Fantastic. The Prime Minister of Vanuatu flew in for the game tonight. I didn't think I was going to be interviewing a Prime Minister tonight, but I did. And he said that Brian Kartak is changing lives in Vanuatu.
Fantastic.
He's changing the culture of football. He's showing he's showing kids that they can come forward and they can do something amazing. And yep. he was here, and he was down pitch side waiting to run on when the full-time whistle went. So some fantastic things there. Stade was in the crowd tonight. Just one other thing about the Mariners, too, they've done this. There's a guy called Garen Quall in the squad at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the sold Birigidi, sold roles, and they just keep on turning over.
Very
they've
good.
Done so here, developed a couple of great kids.
Yeah. Brian Kowtak, another story. So he's someone who hadn't been a professional footballer prior to this year. He comes in, not only plays every game, just about, apart from the red cards, but shines. Had a couple of big interventions in the second half, just when City was starting to threaten and ask a couple of questions, maybe get back into the game. Danny Vukovic, I mean, you talk about the culture of this club. So I remember speaking to him at the start of the season, and he said one of the reasons why he wanted to come back was because the Mariners helped him through a tough time in this city. How many years ago, when he knocks the referee's arm in the grand final?
Yep. 15 years ago.
Loses his Olympic spot,
suspended
for 9 months. All right, he's gone overseas, he's played at other clubs, but he said he never forgot what the Mariners did for him, and he wanted to come back and repay them. He's done that in the biggest way possible as a grand final winning captain. But that sums up that culture in the club, which maybe they lost a little bit, but they've never fully given it away, and then they brought it back to life this year, and then look where they are.
But do you know what summed it up, guys? They're famous for their biggest team photo in the league.
Yeah.
And how about the trophy with the families?
There was about 100 people in it.
And you know what? There's normally... who are these blow-ins going into? It was beautiful.
It wasn't blow-ins.
It wasn't... It was their families.
Yep.
It just summed up the club for what they are, their values, and what they can bring to this league.
So we'll get onto them in a moment just to finish one more time. But let's touch on Melbourne City.
Yeah.
So... Learning have they lost, and you've spoken about a couple of the things early on tactically they may have got wrong.
Yeah.
But what sort of impact might this have? Which players could they lose? Obviously, there's a couple of foreigners that might move on, which is always the case.
Mm.
But after losing the grand final last year, it felt like they were ready for redemption this time around. Learning do they lose, but they get thumped in that manner. And you do start to ask questions about what some people at the club might do. You dare say there might be a new manager coming in next season potentially. Is there going to be a permanent change there? There's a lot of, all of a sudden, unrest at Melbourne City in a footballing sense.
I think all that will come out in the wash. I think for me it's more of a bit of a bigger picture, which we touched on in the pre-game, Garby. One grand final win out of the last four now. How do you measure their success? I mean, Premier's plate, we know first past the post means a hell of a lot. On and off the park, they've been super successful. But it almost feels, I don't want to say it's not a failure, I don't want to use the word failure, but it's such a missed opportunity for one of the powerhouses of this league to say, hey, we've got four titles here, we've got three out of four, now one out of four, it just doesn't look good.
But you know what, there's a championship window in any sport, and they're going to lose some big players in this offseason. They're going to lose some foreigners as well with loans and so on. The identity of this team going into next season, it's going to be a fascinating talking point when we start to look into it.
They are still the premiers, let's not forget that, and that's not an achievement to be looked down upon. Of course, we celebrate that in Australian football, but they've fallen short in a big way in the grand final stage. But that's because there was perhaps a momentum force that nobody was able to breach, and the Central Coast Mariners are simply something to behold at the moment. It's been so great witnessing this story in the flesh tonight. More podcasts to come during the week. On Monday, we go into deep depth about the grand final and all these other things again, and we hope you can listen to that. But Robbie Cornthwaite and David Wiener, we walk off this ground with smiles on our faces because we've been treated to something special tonight.
Special night, great performance, a team that has endeared themselves to so many.
Yep.
Doing six against a team who, while we've done a post-mortem, are a brilliant football unit.
Yep.
It's a great celebration, great atmosphere. I think a drive down to Terrigal may be worth it over the weekend.
What time?
Jason Cummings has still got the toilet seat trophy with him.
Good.
So he's just about the last man to leave the field. It isn't that fitting. He's put it around his neck now to go with his Joe Marston medal. So that's great to see. It's such a shame that we're losing him to Australian football, but what a final game to have from Jason Cummings. Three goals in the Joe Marston medal in the grand final. It's been fun. Join us on the podcast during the week. Thanks to Dave and Robbie for joining me. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Pull up on them and it look nice. Look nice. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future.
nice, future looking nice, we don't need to tell them twice.
Here comes the future.
Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice, we don't need to tell them twice.
Here comes the future.